Erin?
Good morning, Jefferson. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. The time is 9 o'clock.
Yes, yes.
And can you start?
Yes, Jefferson, we can start.
Thank you so much. Good morning, honorable members, support staff, members of the public who have joined us, members of the media. Today we are meeting SAFRIA, South African Special Risk Insurance Association, who are going to be briefing the committee on the second adjustment appropriation bill. Welcome, SAFRIA. Introduce yourselves. I'm not sure whether the chair of the board is around, and the CEO, please introduce your team when you come in. But you are most welcome to the meeting of the Standing Committee on Appropriation. Your input is going to help us to better understand what is happening around the second adjustment appropriation bill, and then we'll also be interacting with your good selves.
Thank you.
You are most welcome, all of you. Darren, do we have any apologies?
Yes, Jefferson, we received an apology from Ms. Nglangwini. She's not well. And then Ms. Peters sent me an email. She said that she needs to leave the meeting early because she has an appointment with an eye specialist. That's it, Jefferson.
Fine. Thank you so much. SAFRIA leadership, you'll introduce yourselves. I think we'll give you 30 minutes to go through your presentation. Maximum, you don't need to take all of it, but we'll give you 30 minutes. And then after that, the oral members will make comments and then ask questions. As they do that, you'll note the questions, and then you answer all the questions once the oral members have finished with their questions. Okay? So to you, SAFRIA, as I said, the leadership will introduce itself and then start with the presentation right away.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Khodisa Mokwanyane. I'm Deputy Chair of SAFRIA. Today, we are honored to be here to present to you and Parliament. I'll hand over to the CEO of SAFRIA.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Khodisa. Okay, that's fine, ma'am. CEO, can you please make sure that you have got your video on? Communications always insist that they would like our videos to be on. CEO?
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to the honorable members of your committee. My name is Mpumi Chikwe. I'm the incoming CEO of SAFRIA.
Please proceed. You'll only bring the meeting back to me once we are done. You are most welcome.
Oh, okay. The presentation, who will run with it? Who is able to share the presentation?
Erin?
Must I share it from my side?
From your side, CEO, and the Komoso is available to do that now.
Okay, all right, fine. Okay, let me just... my apologies. Let me just go to the presentation then. My apologies, Chair.
Perfect.
It is on the screen, CEO.
Oh, thank you.
It is being shared by Komoto from our side.
Oh, my apologies then. Let me just...
Okay. Are you able to see it on your screen?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
I am able to sit on my screen.
Yeah.
Honorable members, it is a great pleasure for me to share this presentation with you. Basically, if you can move on, there is the outline of the presentation, and without further ado, let's go straight into it. Umutso, next slide. Next slide, Umutso. Hello? Okay, I thought it was important, Chair, quickly to give a background to Sazria. Sazria was born out of... thank you, Kumuso. I will tell you when to move to the next slide, all right? Sazria was born from the struggle that was sparked by the 1976 riots way back in 1979. And these are the words of our current president, who was chairman of Sazria in 2009. Sazria, as you know, is a state-owned company. Next slide, Kumuso. Go back, please. Sazria is a 100% state-owned nine-life insurance company listed under Schedule 3B of the PFMA. As I said, it was created in 1979 to cover special risks. Special risks are those where it's politically motivated action, civil unrest, labor disturbances, and even terrorism. And the reason that the government had to step in into providing this cover is because the private sector no longer wanted to participate in that market because it was unprofitable. It is now common knowledge that Sazria experienced its biggest loss in its history in the July civil unrest, where it's now, we are projecting that we're going to make losses close to 27.8 billion. And because Sazria was converted to a state-owned company and a limited company, previously, Sazria didn't pay tax or dividends, but subsequent to that, we had to pay tax, dividends, and comply with all insurance regulations. So one of the regulations that any non-life insurance company needs to comply with solvency capital requirements. So with this biggest loss that we've had in our trading history, Sazria's solvency dropped way below the 100 that is required by the Prudential Authority, necessitating its sole shareholder, which is the state, through Treasury, to inject a capital amount of 22 billion rand. Next slide. Next one. That slide, Chair, just shows what I've already said, the losses that Sazria is projecting to make in the year that ended March 2023. If you were to compare that with the immediate past year, Sazria made a profit of 2 billion rand before tax. I must add quickly to the honorable members that, I mean, Sazria has been around for 43 years. And it's only last year where we've made a trading loss. So in all its history, it's never made a loss except this year that is ending March 2023. Next slide, please. This shows our current balance sheet and cash flows given the cash injection that we have just obtained from Treasury. As you can see, we are currently sitting with a substantial amount of cash of close to 14.5 billion in there. And this is going to assist us to meet the claims that I will share with the members in later slides. Next slide, please. This just shows the cash flows that we have generated from our operations and the negative impact that the July civil unrest had on our cash flows. Next slide. So this slide basically shows the members where we were in November 2021 insofar as the solvency capital requirements or solvency capital ratio. You'll see we were in the negatives basically, and that's why it was necessary for the government to inject 22 billion. Next slide, please. This slide, to assess how an insurance company is doing, the measure that we use is what we call the loss ratio. The loss ratio, simply put, is your claims over your premium. Over the last 10 years, the members will see from the graph that the loss ratio only once was it above 45%. That is in the year 2019, and then now again in the year 2021. So what that graph is showing you is that we've had years of profitability over the last 10 years, except for this 1 year where we made the loss in 2022. I'm often asked by people whether Sasria is going to make another big loss anytime in the foreseeable future. My short answer to that question is that, to be quite honest, we do not know. However, if the past is the teacher of what's going to happen in the future, you will see that Sasria, on average, will make losses, will have a loss ratio of between 35 and 45%. If we're to maintain that loss ratio going forward, we will be able to replenish our reserves and within a period of 5 to 7 years, get back to where we were before the unrest in July. Next slide, please. This slide basically shows the severity compared to other years of the July 2021 unrest, but also, if I want to draw the members to the numbers as well, if you look on the year 2017-2018, we only had 3,632 claims. The following year, we had 5,363. The following year, we had 4,312. The year before, we had 2,976. And last year, you can multiply the claims that we had the prior year by 10, and we had 20,996 claims. I must say 2021 was a good year because of also the lockdown that we experienced, the COVID lockdowns. So there were very few people protesting in the streets. Next slide. This slide, and I think it's important for the members to note, what you see there is what I would call our claims development over the 9 days of the civil unrest during July 2021. It starts with on the Friday, and you can see how it peaks 4 days later, and then it declines. What I'm trying to show our members is that normally, as insurance people, when we come up with scenarios. In our scenario for Sasria, we always believe that the police or the security forces will respond within 48 hours of a particular unrest. As the members would know, the three-man panel published their report, and in the report, it does indicate that the police didn't respond as swiftly as they normally do with this specific unrest. So if the unrest were stopped 3 days, within 3 days of them starting, we could have avoided the claims that followed thereafter. If that was the case, Sasria would have been able to maintain its solvency and wouldn't have required a capital injection. Next slide, please. So I was asked to answer these key questions. Next slide, Commissioner. One, how will the funding provided to Sasria be used? Why should Sasria's shortfall be covered by the National Revenue Fund? Are any businesses that make claim against Sasria not making contributions? Does Sasria pay dividends and taxes? Is National Treasury able to monitor the business claimed compensation from Sasria? Are the workers also assisted by Sasria? And why is Treasury giving money to an institution that is supposed to be self-sustaining? Let me deal with the first question. How will the funding be used? The funding would be used only for two purposes. One is to pay the claims that have arisen, which in the last time we looked at them, they were close to 37 billion. And the second thing that they would be used for is to recapitalize Sasria so that we meet our solvency capital requirements. We will not be using the money for any other purpose. We won't be paying any of our expenses and things like that. Why should Sasria shortfall be covered by the National Revenue Fund? As I've indicated in the background, government is the sole shareholder of Sasria. Under normal circumstances, if it was a privately owned company, the shareholders of that of the privately owned company will have had to come in and contribute to the capital so that the business can get going. So given that the state is the sole shareholder, we had no other alternative but to go to Treasury and ask assistance. Also, if you can see the amounts that are involved in this civil unrest, Sasria is an economic enabler. By us meeting our obligation to our policyholders, our policyholders were able to open their businesses, get the employees back, and start doing what they should be doing so that they can make a profit and pay taxes in the future. So the way our obligation arises is that we've got policyholders that pay a premium to us, and when they pay that premium in return, we promise them that should a loss happen, we'll be there for them and pay the claim. Next slide. Next slide, Homoso. This next slide shows the dividends and tax that was paid by Sasria to the state in the good years. I'm sure the members remember the story in the Bible where you've got the seven good years and the seven bad years. Effectively, given the nature of the risks that Sasria covers, we will have some good years. I mean, we've had a 42 years run without any losses. And then this one specific year, we make a loss. So over those years, we have accumulated reserves. We've been profitable. Next slide, Komutso. And in being profitable, we're able to pay total to the fiscus income tax of 4.5 billion and dividends of 11.1 billion, bringing a total of 15.7 billion. That's what we've been able to contribute to the fiscus during the good years. Next slide. This slide shows our retained earnings. Our retained earnings went up to close to over 8 billion. And in a matter of 9 days, they were totally wiped out by the unrest in July. And the members must bear in mind that as much as we speak about the July claims, there were other claims that we had to meet as well. But they were minuscule compared to what happened in July. So over 8 to 9 days, what has been built over a number of years was completely wiped out. Next slide, please. So this graph basically tries to show in very simple terms as to, you know, what our assets and liabilities were and how the 22 billion is in yellow. I do apologize. I am a bit colorblind, but I think that's on the bar graph on your left. That is a yellow. You will see the 22 billion. On the right-hand side, the bottom graph, it will be your claims where we've got the total claims of, you've got the 34.5 billion rands of claims plus the 3.5 of claims in July, which were recovered. The non-July unrest claims in the year still amounted to 1.5 billion. So you can see our liabilities, what they totaled, and SASRIA had built up those reserves where we've got the 10 billion, our reinsurers contributing as well, and it was just not enough to meet our obligation. Hence, the cash injection of 22 billion was necessary, and it leaves us with about 4 billion rands for us to augment our solvency capital position. Next slide, please. So given the injection, by year end, March 2022, we are projecting that our solvency capital will be sitting at 68%. By June 2022, it will be sitting at over 115%. So let me just explain a couple of things had to happen. We had to have a new memorandum of incorporation that will enable SASRIA to issue shares to the state, Dan, and the regulatory authority has allowed us to operate whilst we are below SCR as long as by June 2022 or end of June 2022, our SCR is above 100. So that's what we are projecting. And then by March 2023, we are projecting that we'll be at 150%. I must add again that should we experience a loss or an event, that will be about 3 billion rand between now and end of March 2023, our SCR will again drop to 91%. So we are still vulnerable. We are not as strong as we were before the July events. And yes, we will need some time to rebuild our reserves and get ourselves stronger again so that we are able to meet our commitments to our policyholders. Next slide, please. So I'll just give the members a quick glance on our claims. Next, our rebuilding and the SCR. You can go to the next slide. Basically, we are summarizing our claims position as SASRIA, and the table graphs that will show next on the next slide will make it clear. Go on to the next slide, please. Okay, so what the members are seeing there is we've broken down the claims by claims bands and reflecting how much has been paid to date, how much is still outstanding, and how we are progressing in making the claims. On row one, where claims below 1 million, those are settled by our agents, and we still have to update them, but I can assure members that we have paid up to 95% of those small claims. So the smaller businesses that were insured with us have been paid. We do have some large customers where we are still negotiating a settlement. We do know exactly the amounts that need to be paid. So the clients need to formalize their claims with us and give us certain proofs that, you know, what they had in the store at the time was actually what they had, and we can verify the amount. Next slide, please. There we are showing you the various lines of businesses that we insure and which ones had the biggest losses. Clearly, you can see commercial property was by far where we paid the most, where the total value of claims is over 28 billion, followed by the excess of loss. Excess of loss, that is where we give additional cover of a billion to large businesses. There we've got a very strong reinsurance partner, Lancashire, where they were taking 80% of the risk. With the renewal post the event, we have had to exit that particular market because the insurer or the reinsurer in this particular case, their premiums were just way too expensive and we couldn't pass on that cost to the customer. So you can see largely Sasria covers commercial property, and these were the beneficiaries. And these are businesses that employ thousands and thousands of people. By us, with the assistance of government, being able to pay them, it means that, you know, economic activity was resumed, and those people who could have lost their jobs went back to their jobs. Now, Sasria does not cover employees. It's a more an indirect relationship in that if we pay the business reinvests in the business, they reopen the stores, they reopen the manufacturing plant, they reopen the distribution centers, and then people go back to employment. Most of our clients are reinvesting the money and reopening their businesses. Most of them are. There are certain instances where businesses have taken a view that, all right, we will not reopen in that particular area, not because it was not profitable, because of some of the challenges that they were experiencing in that particular area. But in the main, most of our clients have invested back in their business and reopened. It is their option, just like any other insurance contract, as to how they spend their money that we have paid to them. Next slide, please. This slide just merely shows the top 25 cities that were affected by the July civil unrest. And as you can see at a glance, really most of it was in KwaZulu-Natal, and that hasn't changed. KwaZulu-Natal being followed by certain parts of Gauteng. Next slide. You can skip that slide. It just makes the point that I've just made, and I'm concerned about time. Next slide. Now, rebuilding Sasria. You know, I always make this analogy that we were a boxer that was knocked out in July, and we are busy rebuilding the entity. And in rebuilding the entity, we are now looking at various scenarios. In the business with my colleagues and I, we have mapped out four scenarios that we envisage things can roll out in the country, and we are planning for each specific scenario. Next slide, please. So, update on rebuilding. as to where we are. We do not have any liquidity issues thanks to the 22 billion cash injection. Our reinsurers also have paid in, so Sasria is able to meet its liabilities that arise in the near future. So we do not have any liquidity or financial sustainability concern. We have engaged various stakeholders during this crisis that we faced, amongst them, you know, our clients, our brokers, our agent companies, the support that we've got from National Treasury and government broadly. It has been fantastic, and we've really been pleased by all the, you know, the support that we have received from the various stakeholders, including the media. We have implemented a growth strategy, which involves us increasing our premiums to our clients as we try to repair our balance sheet. We will not only be increasing premiums, we will also be looking in areas where there is premium leakage, where we've got maybe clients out there that are paying premiums that is not coming through to us. We are looking at other risk mitigation initiatives. For instance, Sasria has had some CSI projects with some municipalities, and I will share more information about that in the future with the members of this committee, where we will invest in building community center, for instance. And we find that after we build that community center and have technology in place, that, you know, protest action reduces in that particular community. We've just done two, by the way, so we haven't done quite a lot. So we're going to see, as we get stronger and have more reserves, how can we involve communities in our initiatives so that when they protest, they don't feel the need to distract infrastructure. We are revising our policy wordings to be clear on what we cover and not cover. Our people have stayed with us. We haven't had really any loss of critical staff during the period. And insofar as recapitalization is concerned, we have had a new reinsurance structure in place that started in August 2021. And we've implemented new premiums in 2022. And the new memorandum of incorporation has been approved by the Prudential Authority. And later tonight, there is a board meeting in which they will approve the issuance of shares. Next slide, please. Yeah, I'm going to just talk a little bit about the other thing that Sasria does, which is not paying claims or receiving premiums from our policyholders. Next slide. As part of our contribution to South African society, we've been involved, we've been an anchor sponsor of the South African Actuaries Development Program, where we are assisting Black people, Black youth to become actuaries. Members will know this, I think in the country, and our deputy chair is an actuary as well. She can speak to the numbers. We have, in South Africa, we've got around 3,400 actuaries, and in accounting profession, there's over 20,000. So we do need to invest in this area of the actuarial area, and hence Sasria has opted to make that its anchor project. The next one. For the last 3 years, we've been involved with the Tutuka Bursary Scheme as well, where we sponsor accounting students. We've had to suspend that program this year given our crisis. We will resume it when we are back to our strength again. And then the last slide, there it shows what we are doing at the high school level, where we are assisting with the revision programs for math and science. There we've partnered with Tekniko Cinemas, And what happens is that learners will go to Steakhouse cinemas around the country during their non-peak time, and they will receive lessons in maths and science. Our plan in the future, given what COVID has done, is to take that program online and negotiate with telecommunication companies to provide learners with a website where they can access this information for free. With that said, Chair, I thank you for listening to me, and we'll take any questions.
Thank you so much, Deputy Chair. Anything to add before I allow the other members to come in with questions?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, CEO. I would just want to say is we really appreciate the support that we've received from our government and the different stakeholders that we work with. July was a really trying time for us as Austria, and for the board as well. But this is what the organization was meant for. It was meant to be the organization that helps businesses be and people be able to resume their lives after a big civil unrest. As in terms of having a better of what we can handle and what we cannot handle, and being able to then adjust these events are very difficult to model. So we extreme events, and so it's difficult to get it right. We just hope that the parliament and the committee will be able to be understanding in that regard, that we couldn't foresee this event happening at this magnitude. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Deputy Chair Ms. Mokonyane. All members, here's the presentation. We know how we do it. We can have indications to how you want to deal with the presentation.
Wonderful. Yep.
Is it Honorable Dehale?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Honorable members, Honorable Matafa. Yes, Honorable members, listening.
Peters.
Honorable Peters. I remember that I've got Robert Dehale, Robert Mataf, Robert Peters.
Kaiso.
Robert Kaiso. Is that it? Okay. That's fine. Let's start, Robert Dehale. See how far we go.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to honorable members and Sastria, those who are presenting, the CEO and Mayor Kgodiso Mokonyane. Thank you very much for the presentation. Chairperson, they will pardon me if ever maybe what I'm going to ask will look like it doesn't have sense to them. But I will also be needing an assistant. My first question goes to where they are saying they are not going to increase their premium this year. I know that even as government, we are struggling. We don't have enough to inject on everybody. So if they were going to increase their premium, I'm sure it was going to assist. In the whole world, every year, everything goes up. Petrol, bread, everything, you name them. Car tires, the prices continues to go up. So I don't know why Vona, they are not going to increase the premium. The other thing, Recently, we saw what happened in KZN and Eastern Cape. I just want to check with Sasria if ever they do sometimes visit rural areas and teach them about their program. Because I've seen whereby they were paying the claims, and there's in no way where I've seen a picture from a rural area whereby they're saying, we managed to pay this claim. And this is an indication that the rural area people does not know about Sasria. So I was going to be happy if they were going to say, even what recently happened in KZN, we managed to pay them something. But truly speaking, it shows that Sasria is not visible in the rural areas. Now, when we go to where they assist the learners with math and science revision, well, you mentioned a program of the Kaineko in the cinemas, and that really, I won't even say it's a luxury in the rural area because there's nothing like that. We don't have that program. So is Sasria only meant for the urban people and not rural? And these rural people are also part of government. And we are not being told as to where they were collecting their premiums. We are not being told as to how much do they make per annum and how much did they use. We only see where they were paying the premiums, whereby people were claiming. I think I'll stop here, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Good morning, Honorable Members, CEO and Mayor Mokonyane. Chairperson, I don't have much, save to say that I welcome the presentation. It really responded to the questions that we have actually sent to Sasria so that they can empower us in understanding how the allocations that we normally appropriate to entities are used. I would only have one question, and I see that it was covered when there was a presentation made around the growth strategy, which speaks to looking at reviewing the premiums that clients are charged. Now, my question there is to find out if whether the current funding model from the shareholder, which obviously is government, is sufficient the way it is, or if whether they have a different opinion on how else can Sasria be funded besides relying on government funding and government injections, particularly when you have major shocks like this one. Well, I see there's a lot of work that is being done in reviewing, the structure of Sasria in terms of how it approaches its operations and claims. But I'm lacking some substance that will give me comfort that we are moving in a direction that Sasria can be ready, that a major shock like this, should it appear again, because we know we cannot predict such things, that should it happen, Sasria will be able to respond in a manner that will not give more pressure on the fiscals. Because Honorable Dikale is correct that even the national fiscus is going through some times of pressure that we are unable to assist everybody. So I just want to get more input in terms of how responsive will we be should another event like this one occur whilst we are still in the process of rebuilding, particularly considering the fact that premiums will only take time before they actually have an impact after they have been increased. But otherwise, Chair, I'm very happy with what has been presented, and indeed the presentation did respond to the questions that we had. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Matafa. Honorable Peters.
Chair, you are audible.
We are very much audible, honorable teachers. You can switch off your video. I know you are struggling with your connection. Teachers, honorable teachers, switch off your video. I can see you are struggling with your connectivity today. Honorable teachers, switch off your video. I can see you are struggling with your connectivity today. Honorable teachers, can you hear me?
We are monitoring.
Yeah, but can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Okay, Chair.
Hello?
Yes, Chair. I'm here, Chair.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me, Chair?
Yeah, I can hear you, but I'm asking you whether you can hear me. Switch off your video, please.
Am I on?
Switch off your video, please.
Chairperson.
Yebo. Okay, Darren, can you please communicate with the honorable member and just ask her to switch off her video? In the meantime, I'll go to honorable Kaiso.
Thank you very much, honorable chair. And thanks for the presentation made by Sasri. I just have brief questions or input here, honorable chair. Yeah, I see the solvency liquidity requirement of SARS-3I is bulging to 150%. So it does say that unlike ESCOM and SAA, where we've tried our level best and without seeing any positive return on investment. So I think that it will be necessary that at least being one of the well-managed state-owned company, there shouldn't be a reason that South Korea should not be assisted to achieve its, goal or objectives as a state-owned company, given their performance, which they presented last briefing and even up to this briefing. So now I'm saying in order, there shouldn't be any reason why SASRIA would not be assisted to achieve their objective. And secondly, is on the issue of, I think we discussed about this matter previously with SASRIA to say, look, SASRIA was just known to the to a certain section of our people. Not every section it's known about its operation and how it's people can run such medium business people. So, and ordinary people who sell fed cook at the street level. So I know it's a very ambitious plan, that one, but you may think that because given the level of unemployment, most of our people have then resorted to informal business and such as hawkers. So when riots and disruptions distractions happen, to a greater extent, those are the ones who are immediately affected. But they may not even go to the bank and ask for 50 rand to go and buy flour, to cake flour, etc. They won't be allowed to do it. But then, had there been a way that could assist them, to claim something, it will assist them. But I'm just trying to check with Safria, is there any way to broaden the operation of the scheme or the insurance in such a way that at least gradually a number of poorer people are able to access, the service of Sasria it may not happen over a day, but there should be at least a process that is being explored such that even the poor on the ground are able to see the benefits of Sasria, given even the reason that we have advanced to say that we have noted now during the protest actions a certain degree of property becomes vulnerable and distracted, and even business occurs. So I just want to know what so far have you begun to lay the ground such that now the insurance actually expand maximally to ensure that even the poorer benefit out of the Sasria scheme. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kaiso. Let's get Honorable Peters back. Honorable Peters.
Chairperson, Honorable Peters has got connectivity issues. She's trying to log back in.
Okay. That's fine. Let's keep on trying to assist her back to the meeting. Let me come in with my questions. Again, let me...
My hand, Chairperson.
I'm back, Chair.
Honorable Mlenzana, please.
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay, just wait. But you know how we do it. You shout at me and then I call you, eh? So I see now the hand up there. Can just wait. You must always don't be afraid to shout at me and say my hand is up, eh?
No thanks, sir.
Yeah, sir. Please. Yeah, but let me allow Honorable Peters before she breaks again. Honorable Peters, please come in.
Thank you very much, Chair. I want to take this opportunity to thank the leadership of Sasria for the presentation that they made today. To also indicate that throughout the presentation, I need to read the presentation itself. I'm a bit concerned that there is an acknowledgement from Sasria that they are not covering workers, but also the statement that says that they are not doing a life cover. For me, it is a serious concern because in the fire and what in the not covered, because sometimes they don't even earn enough to do own personal life cover. And you would understand if life and limb and property goes together, because they were workers in the building. The other thing, what happens to those businesses that make a huge claims but did not return to service, adding up to the number of unemployed, adding up to the challenges that a Department of Labor and Employment has with regards to the unemployment insurance? And sometimes some of those workers, Jefferson, are not even covered by UIF. And some of them are not even covered as registered as workers because they are probably on contracts. Then the issue that Honorable Dutafa raised, I'm mixing now the Kale and Matafa. Hey, my goodness. Honorable Dutafa raised, The issue she raised is a lot about rural areas. My concern is about townships and small towns. And also equally with regard to the concern that she raised about actuaries and the programs we have for high schools was starting in many of the towns, and also many of the small towns even don't have movie places. What more about townships? How do you make it possible that those learners from those particular communities can also get value from this important program? And Chairperson, lastly, is the CEO and Deputy Chairperson able to break down the number of beneficiaries out of the South Korea portfolio, and as well as the July unrest, by location, industry, and race and gender? I believe that it is important that we get to know whether the money does, or the subsidy does help us to get even our black and women and rural as well as other amashishini akhasayo back onto business. How much of the small businesses are insured with SASRIA? Because it is important that we get to know if some small businesses are insured by SASRIA as well. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you, Honorable Peters. Honorable Lenzana, please come in.
Yes, good morning, Chairperson. I'm just showing face also just to confirm that I'm not a robot, after which I will ask to switch off.
Okay.
No, no thanks, Chair. Chairperson, just two issues. Let me start with this other one before I forget. Is SASRIA able to follow the money that they have actually dispatched to these businesses after they would have made claims? I understand, Chairperson, that before they actually make the payout, they would go and make an assessment. I'm fine with that. But now my interest is, after the payoff, are they able to check if the money goes as per the designed proposal? I'm raising this Chairperson because Deputy Chairperson or Acting Chairperson of the day from SASRIA and the incoming CEO. By the way, congratulations, incoming CEO. For the work that you are to assume. We wish you well. But then look, if one can check, because there is this allegation, CEO, which says these big businesses would then, after they would have received their claim, no more move Chairperson to the area of operation where the incident occurred because of whatever insecurities or what, but would then decide to move to the extent of some moving outside the country. Now, is there a way then? Because beyond one having business, there is also the element of serving the community. If now there is this person who was in the Tempet Central, and he or she finds it that after receiving the claim, is no longer, you know, comfortable by being in Tempet, and now decide to move to a place which he or she feels that is at least cool and comfortable for her to run business. Are you able to detect that? To detect that? Then the second one, Chair, it looks like comrades have already asked it, but I will put it the other way around. If you listen to the preamble in the presentation of SASRIA, it says clearly, Chairperson, that this was a design scheme which was made to protect a particular class then, which would protect a particular regime, which I would call that regime was seriously illegitimate, because it was against the 1976 riots. Now, is there a clear transformation agenda from Sasria? Or is it not the perpetuation of the same program, the same, objective that Sasria was designed for then? Hence, it doesn't care for our own people now, the black women and youth in majority. That is the thing, Chairperson, that I wanted to check. Lest we see ourselves funding the very cause that we fought for when we were in the liberation struggle. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mlenzana. Can I just check any other honorable member on the platform would like to say something before I ask Robert Dekhale if there's anything they should like to add?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Just wait, Honorable Kaiso. Let me start.
Just one question.
Just hold, Honorable Kaiso. Just hold. Yeah. Honorable Dekhale, anything from your side?
I'm fine, Chairperson. Thank you.
Honorable Matafa?
I'm covered. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Peters?
I'm covered, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Kaiso?
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much. I just want to find out from Sasria on the second last slide or last slide. That somewhere you indicate the one of the risks is the staff that is highly skilled and leaving the company. So I just want to find out what are the reasons of that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Kaiso. Honorable Lenzana.
No, thanks, Chair. I'm fine.
Thank you. Let me join the honorable members in welcoming the presentation by Sasria, and I again wish the new CEO well in his responsibility. Well, my first question will be. the July unrest mainly took place in two provinces, and I think 80% was in KZN and a little bit of Gauteng. So I sometimes think what would have happened if it went to 4, 5, 6 provinces. What would we be facing? So as I'm saying that, I would like to hear what you are going to say. That Sasria has never been ready for what it ensures people for. I want you to hear what you are going to say. Secondly, you are saying you are reinsured, and if I say you are grossly inadequately reinsured, what are you going to say on that? I would like to hear your comments on that one, because if you were adequately reinsured, we wouldn't be sitting here and talking about recapitalization of the insurance company. I think there's something definitely which was not happening right, but I would like to hear what your comment. From where I'm sitting, that's what I'm saying, that if it was more than two provinces, it needs to be facing disaster, as it were. And my hypothesis is that you were not adequate. You were grossly under reinsured. And secondly, following on Honorable Kaiso, Dekhale, and Peters, please share us with us. It's very clear. It became very clear that most of the businesses in townships, in rural areas, are not covered by SASRA. It may be due to many factors, but one of those factors may be unavailability of information about what SASRA does. So the question is, what is the strategy that you are putting in place to make sure that all the taxpayers benefit from this? For instance, now we're asking all the taxpayers to recapitalize yourself, whereas it's very much skewed towards the urban areas and mainly the urban centers. So what's the strategy that you are following as far as it is concerned? Thirdly, can you share with us, obviously you have spoken about the solvency capital ratio and the loss ratio, and you say you are meeting those ones. With my little knowledge, there are many other ratios that are very important for the insurance company. If you don't mind, just share with us those ratios and see how you fare as far as they are concerned. You are faced with about 37 billion rand claims. I just want to check what checks and balances have you put in place to avoid fraudulent claims? Put it differently, how sure are you that of the claims that you are paying out, all are legitimate claims? Because we would like to avoid a situation where 3-4 months down the line, we hear that there have been so many fraudulent claims. As you know, that when it comes to insurances, there are always a lot of chance takers who end up fraudulently claiming against the insurance. CEO, you spoke about clients who, you were talking about leakages, and you spoke about clients who pay premiums and those premiums don't reach SASRA. How does that happen? And when did you become aware of such an activity? And what are you doing about it? So one, why would that happen? How does it happen? When did you become aware of it? And what are you doing about it? I think those would be my questions. And Ms. Mukonyane and Mr. Chigwe, it's back to you. You'll decide how you answer the questions. If you have got other people on the platform who'd like from SASRA, you'd like to direct the questions to, please feel free to do that. You'll only return the meeting back to me once all the questions have been have been attended to. Back to you, colleagues.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members of the committee. So I will leave the CEO to answer your questions, and if there's anything he would like to defer to me, then I'll answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and thank you to Deputy Chair. Can everyone hear me? Sorry.
Very well. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. And I think I heard at the beginning that it was Honorable Lenzane's birthday. So happy birthday to him. I wish him many, many more glorious years. And I will...
Thank you. You are welcome. Thank you so much.
I will take the question as they come in, and thank you for the good wishes. Yes, it's been just over a month in the job, so thank you for the good wishes. And also, I think let me just thank my predecessor as well, Cedric, who has done a sterling job looking after this company for just over 12 years.
If I may ask, Ms. Chigwe, just for information, where were you before your present responsibility?
I get my age, I'm 57 in September, and for the last 35 years, I've been working in the insurance industry. I started my insurance career way back in 1986. My last job, I've worked for a company called Constantia. Before that, I was at Alexander Forbes, Santam, and Hollard. But in a state-owned environment, I've also been the managing director of Land Bank Insurance Company. So, yes, so I am familiar with working within the state environment. So of the 35 years, I was at the Land Bank for 5 years. So, thank you, Chair. So I will take the question in the order they came, and I will try and answer all of them. So starting with the Honorable Dikgale's questions, maybe I misspoke or I was not clear about the premiums. We did increase the premiums. There is a slide that deals with it. We did increase the premiums, and that was implemented in February 2022. On average, we're increasing our premiums by 38%. Within those categories, there are certain clients that are getting more than the 38%. There are some that are not that didn't get, but we are increasing our premiums by 38%. So in the incoming year, we expect the premium growth of in the order of 40% in the coming year. We will present those when we table our corporate plan, when it's tabled to Parliament. So that's the first question the Honourable Member asked. The second one was around, the rural area, that there is no presence in the rural area. Yes, I will say that is correct. Generally, Sasria, the business model has been in the for quite a while, is that we sell insurance through brokers. So there would be an insurance broker, then there is an insurance company, then there is Sasria. So that is how the value chain operates. So what we have found is that in the rural areas, there isn't a presence of insurance brokers. And also when you distribute or sell to insurance brokers, you do not advertise a lot because you have to pay the broker's commission as well. So that has been the strategy for us, but we are changing the strategy. The members will have seen that there have been some advertisements of Sasria in the media. Secondly, my colleague Muzi has been in various radio stations. Currently, I've got a program where I will be going to all the radio stations, in particular the SABC radio stations, where we'll be publicizing Sasria. So we are also going to change the business model where people are going to be able to buy Sasria directly. So those are the plans, and we are going to be executing them. There are other what we call alternative selling methods that we're going to be coming up, and also selling online. The accessing rural people insofar as the education is concerned, also another valid point made by the Honourable Member. That's why I said in my presentation that we are going to go online, because online has got a wider reach than the cinemas. Yes, the cinemas were fairly distributed in the urban areas, and in also mainly this program was benefiting Black students from the townships. But yes, I concede what the Honourable Member is saying about the presence in the rural areas. And that's why we want to partner with the telecommunication companies and institutions so that we can offer this particular content online. I don't know how many members are old enough to remember. I know when I was in Standard 5, I used to get my maths lessons listening to a radio Xhosa around 10 a.m. So we'll be taken out of class, and at 10 a.m. we will then be listening to a maths lesson in radio. So now we've got online presence, and most of the networks they've got a 4G infrastructure in the rural areas. So we believe that we will be able to reach them. Coming to Honorable Matafa's question around the reviewing of premium and looking at the business model and whether it can withstand any shocks. As the deputy chairperson said when we concluded our presentation, events like this are very difficult to model. You know, that's why the private sector refuses to insure this particular area of the market, and the state has to come in and be the insurer. They're quite difficult to model. However, having said that, I think in fairness to Sazia, we have had 42 years run where we have been right, where we've been able to meet our obligations and pay our policyholders and get businesses going back to work and getting the employees back. What it was really different about the July unrest, Honorable Buthelezi also partly addresses the questions that I'm going to come to that you've raised. What made July very unique was that in our scenario planning, whenever we envisage these scenarios, we never anticipated that the security response will not unfold or will not happen. So that's what makes, if you look in the last 42 years, we have been able to respond to civil unrest and we haven't come to Parliament to ask for assistance. What made this event unique was that these civil unrest played out over a period of time, and as the time went longer, the losses became bigger and bigger. That we did not anticipate. And I think no one had anticipated that at all. So that is where the shortcoming is going to be. We were at that stage designed to handle events up to about 17 billion rands. So if the event was 17 billion, Sazria would have been able to comfortably handle it. And yes, it would have put pressure on our solvency, but we'll be having a different conversation than the one that we are having now. That's the challenge. Going forward, do we plan for such a scenario? Yes, we are. And we are going to be engaging the Treasury and government to say, look, as Sazria, this is how far we'll be able to go. Beyond this point, we will just not going to be able to go through. Members must remember that in its design, Sazria was to cover these extraordinary events. We do not know where a terrorism attack can come from. And now we're using terrorism not like it was used in the apartheid regime days. We are monitoring the situations, for instance, in Mozambique and other activities that are happening in the country. We don't know where these come and what sort of magnitude they will be. But in our scenario planning, we simulate if there could be an attack in Sandton City, if there could be an attack in Waterfront, if there could be an attack in Barlito, what will it be and whether we'll be able to respond. But never in our planning did we anticipate that the reaction of the security forces will be as it was during that time. Coming to Honorable Peters, I hope she is still on the line. As I say in the background, Sazria is founded by an Act of Parliament, which the democratic government amended in 1998, where the democratic government then allowed the entity to pay dividends And the dividends that were paid at that time were used to reduce some of the apartheid debt and so on. So we're a creature of statute. We're created by Act of Parliament. And that Act of Parliament prescribes what we can do and what we can't do. Unfortunately, as the Act stands at the moment, our mandate does not extend to provide life cover. So we're unable to do that. Ours, by design, is to cover property and the like, so that people can invest in the property and so on. I must give, though, the Honourable Member comfort, even though it's small comfort, because in the rural areas, it's not going to be applicable. Generally, employers, when they insure, they take what is called a group life cover for their employees. So if an employee gets injured whilst at work, there are other measures for them to get cover. Life cover does not exclude and if you die due unrest, it will still pay you. However, your normal motor insurance that honorable members have, the normal insurance that you have on your house, it will not cover it if it's subject to unrest. So that is the difference. Insofar as small businesses, honorable Peters is concerned, yes, as you can see, if you look at the amount we paid in claims, those claims were less than 1 million rand. You'll see by number, they're a bulk of the claims, I think over 17,000 of those claims. Those were for small businesses. And if you see in our segmentation, we also did pay a lot of taxes that will operate from the township. So yes, we do offer that cover broadly to township communities. There were malls that were affected. The next week I'm in Bridgetown in Guamashu. There were malls in the townships that were affected by the civil unrest, and there we are paying those people and the businesses that were inside. The only difference is this, though, is that Sasria, a client, must pay us a premium, and then we pay the claim. There were a lot of people who were uninsured. And those people, unfortunately, we cannot respond to them because they didn't pay their premiums. They were not covered. And I'm sure the members are aware that the Department of Trade and Industry had a program where they assisted uninsured small businesses to be helped. So it is important for the members to differentiate between what I would call a beneficiary and a client who is paying a premium. These clients pay us a premium, and we promise them, should an event happen, so it's a contract, that should an event happen, we will pay them. So basically, unlike where we are giving grants or assisting uninsured people, it is our obligation that we meet those claims, because that's what we had promised. If we do not meet our promise, then members will appreciate there will be loss of trust and confidence in the South African economic infrastructure. Coming to Honourable Kaiso's question that he raised, and thank you about speaking about the solvency and so on. So I'll answer yes. I said this when I was interviewed for the job, and I know my colleague Muzi is working hard on this. We are going to introduce a product for our, you know, for what you call the person who sells the fat cook. It's going to be very simple product. It's premiums. We're looking at about 30 rand 30 rand or so per month. The person, experiences a loss of some sort, whether it's, let's say, labor unrest, people are marching, they demolish is stalled, and so on and so on. So, yeah, we know that event happened, and then we'll quickly pay that person with minimal paperwork. We are also going to build an app as well for anyone with a smartphone to be able to buy the product. I must though quickly say that we were not designed for that, so we need to build our infrastructure to be able to do those things. So we are in that process of building. I think, again, Honorable Guy, so I think maybe I misspoke. What I was saying in that slide was that we are grateful that our staff stayed on with us. Our staff turnover is less than 10%. So remember, during the July unrest, there was a stage where Sasria was technically insolvent. And you'll appreciate that creates a lot of uncertainty in people's minds as to the future of the company. The staff, especially the critical staff, were quite aware that we're in deep trouble and we are going to require the assistance that government is giving us. So there were stages where there was uncertainty, and then people then started looking for alternatives. I am really glad that as I come in, that we haven't had any exodus of these highly skilled people. Those that are leaving are leaving for really personal circumstance, changing for because they would like to do something different that is exciting and so on. So that is that's the question. Honorable Lenzen raises some interesting questions around following the money. And effectively, yes, we can give in the list of whom we have paid, how much we've paid, in which localities are they, what sort of industry do they operate in, because whenever a client has got a claim, we appoint a loss adjuster and they come back with a report of no less. So is the value chain that we have. Normally, fraud in insurance is people claiming for something that has already been damaged. So, your car has been in an accident, you didn't take insurance, and then you go and arrange insurance, and then 4 months you claim for a vehicle that has already been damaged. But given the way we handle claims, is that we appoint people to go and assess, the likelihood of that happening is small, but the risk is still there. Having said that, we do have a risk if the people who go and assess are corrupt, we're then going to have a problem. So that's an area that we are actively and proactively managing. The premium leakage one, Chair, I think that's just the new guy being exuberant into the job. I haven't identified it as yet and so on. So it's just exuberance of the new job in place. But given my private sector experience, what I'm saying is that there are other distribution channels in the industry, like underwriting agencies that Sasria doesn't deal with. So what we will be doing is checking anyone who sells insurance must be registered with an FSP. We're going to check if there are any FSPs that are not paying over the premiums. But really, it's just one of the things I've sort of flagged and I said I'm going to look at. I haven't found any as I speak to you. So with that said, I think I've covered all the questions that were asked. If I have missed any, I would like the chair to direct me in that way. Deputy Chair, do you have something to add?
Thank you. I think you answered most of the questions and I'm comfortable. I think there was just one question that was asked by Matafa, and I think there were also a few other questions about CSI that I just wanted to address. So in terms of CSI, we have a presence also in rural areas.
Madam Konyane, your acronym, please code it in full, CSI.
Oh, okay. In terms of what we do for our societies, in terms of assisting the people that were previously disadvantaged, we do go to rural communities and townships, and we have programs in those areas. So the CEO may not have shown them in the presentation, but we do have programs like helping schools to erect toilets. As you know, there are some schools that still don't have proper functioning toilets, so we have programs that do things like that. And also, when you looked at the program that the CEO showed, we have South African Actuaries Development Program. It helps us to develop actuaries that will then be able to add a more inclusive way of looking at the risks that we face as South Africans and in insurance companies. So what we have seen there is also the participants of that program come from across the country, rural areas, townships, and also urban areas. So there has been an effort to also try and get every possible. And in terms of the question from Honorable Matapa, so where he was asking if it's sustainable for Sasria to have only one shareholder, given the many shocks, I think it is an interesting question in terms of, yes, there will be major shocks. No one really wants to cover major shocks, and that's why they come to the state, because the state is, you know, the protector of last resort, for lack of a better word, for all the citizens of the country. And so it would be a good conversation to have, but also all state entities need to also play their part. So right now, when we look at it, like as the CEO reiterated, we expected the security services to react faster than what we saw on the ground. And so if that had happened, we wouldn't be worried so much about whether the state being a shareholder or the sole shareholder, whether Sasria would be, you know, asking for more funds to be added to the state. But given that as it may, there could have also been other extreme events that, you know, if it did go to different provinces, something like this. And so, yes, it would be a good idea to have those discussions with National Treasury as our shareholder to be able to see would they want us to look at an alternative way of ownership of Sasria. But right now, the state is the sole shareholder of Sasria. Thank you.
I take it that's the last from your side, Deputy Chairperson. Thank you. Honorable members, it's very rare that we are having SASRA. Does anyone have a burning question before we let them go?
Honorable Chair.
Yebo.
Thank you very much. I'm happy that they do have some programs in the rural areas, but I wanted to give them other locations where I never saw them, so that the area is also touched. Thank you.
Yes, the point is taken, and I think in their response they also agree that they haven't touched all the areas that ideally they must and they should have those programs. Any other honorable member who's beginning to say something? Okay. I think Deputy Chair, CEO, you have correctly said that the brokers play a very important role in the value chain of your business. Being in that sector, you know that one of the challenges that this country have is the lack of transformation in the financial services sector. Broadly speaking, I know I may be ambushing you on that one. What do you see your role in the chain of the financial services sector transformation? Just define your role as a main player in that sector. You've just touched on the brokers, but on top of your head, if you haven't thought about it, but I'll be surprised if you haven't. But briefly share with us how do you define your role in that very important transformation agenda of the financial services sector in our country?
Before they come in, Chair, my apology. Can I raise this one?
Yeah, please do.
Thank you very much for understanding. I have an advice as to the time when it comes whereby they are going to develop black insurance program, if they can touch base with the traditional leaders in all the offices of the traditional leaders. That's where they will get these people, and I'm sure they'll be able to touch base with them, especially when it comes to this program whereby they will be developing in our black communities. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Robert Dihale. Can I have the response to the two issues which have been raised, Deputy Chair and CEO?
Thank you. I'll just give a more strategic overview of it, and then the CEO will then come in to respond. I think as SASRIA, it is quite clear that we are owned by the state, and so we need to reflect the ambitions of our shareholder. And what you have stated, Chair, is one of the ambitions of our shareholder, which is to ensure an inclusive society. And part of an inclusive society for South Africa is to get everyone who wants to be, to have the opportunity to be economically active and to be able to prosper in South Africa. So what by design the National Treasury has done is to select a board of shareholders, a board of directors that reflect our society to ensure that we have representation in terms of gender and also race and various occupations that would add value to SASRIA, and for SASRIA then to be able to have those debates at board level and then be able to operationalize that in the ongoing operations of the business through the CEO at the helm of the organization. So as SASRIA, what we've done and also as individual board members is to get involved in those discussions. So you'll remember at some point we were reviewing the financial sector bill, and also looking at Twin Peaks to see how should we be regulating our insurance and financial services sector in South Africa. And one of the things that came up at that time was that we need to actually make it an imperative that transformation is in the act as well, because previously it wasn't. And once that came into place, we were then able to influence not just Sastria, but make sure that all insurance companies take transformation as the center of what they do, and regulators can also then enforce transformation as well in different insurance companies. So that's one thing that we have been able to do as individuals who sit on the board, to make sure that we encourage transformation. And then as a board, we've then been able to look at the sector, also informed by specialists within the industry, to let us know that there are different professions that are critical skills that are not transformed. And we needed to then make sure that we could assist that using the operations of Sastria. And one of the things was the South African Actuaries Development Program. This was funded using the reserves that Sastria had built up during the apartheid years, that because of our peaceful transition, we did not have the civil war that was expected to occur. And back then, when the current president was chairperson of Sastria, then that's when they used that money to fund the building of a group of black actuaries that could then be able to help transform our financial sector. The actuarial profession is quite critical in the insurance industry. I mean, it was very untransformed. The first black actuary that we had was in the early 2000s. So it took a while even to start seeing, you know, traction in that regard, and we still have very few in South Africa. In terms of the money that we hold, so for a long time we were quite profitable and we had reserves, and looking at the money that we were holding in reserves, we were conscious that we need to also assist black investment or black asset managers. And so in how we allocate funds, we were quite strategic in terms of making sure that we prioritize black asset managers in helping them to meet our requirements. So we've had incubator schemes where we help them, and also in then giving them funds to invest on our behalf. Like the CEO said, we need to also look at brokers. But yeah, those are some of the things that we have looked at, and that we are quite conscious needs to happen. Also in terms of the staff members of Sastria, making sure that they are representative of the demographics of South Africa, including gender as well, not only race. And also we need to have people with disabilities, because they're also part of our society. In terms of traditional leaders, I think it makes sense when you go to any area, you need to be able to understand protocol and manage all stakeholders involved. And when you go to areas that are led by different leaderships, if you want to make sure that you're successful, you need to then speak with the leadership there. So rural areas or areas that have traditional leaders, we will then need to talk to the leadership to get their buy-in. Yeah, that's it from me.
Theo, do I have anything to add?
Yeah, honestly, there's very little that I can add to what the Deputy Chair has said, other than to say that maybe two things. One, the leadership in the leadership of Sastria, transformation comes naturally, whether it's to, from the board way down into the EXCO, in the EXCO team. And then the second part is that we are quite deliberate about making sure that transformation happens. So we put the plans in place to ensure that it happens in the manner that the deputy chair is alluded to. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Honorable Peters? Are you there, Honorable Peters? Okay, thank you. I think this brings us to the end of the presentation by Sasria. Safe to say, Deputy Chair, that the transformation issue should reside in the board and should be part of the KPAs of the board and management. And it be very clear upfront exactly what targets you are setting yourselves to do in all the areas that you think need your attention. It shouldn't be an incidental thing. So I think next time we engage, next time we engage, would like to be taken through that your strategy, because if we don't do it as government institutions, could know what happens to the private sector. So we should be the ones who walk the talk, who are trailblazers as far as the transformation of the sector is concerned. I think we note the steps and the things that you are taking in that direction, and I think from our side it will just be support. We'll support you on those initiatives. It's very important. It's very important. But at the same time, and say thank you very much to you for the presentation that you have made and the engagement that you have had with the honourable members. Deputy Chair, I should have done this at the beginning, because in many instances we say, what is appropriations doing, right? And why all of a sudden are we being called by appropriations, whereas in the past 40 years or so we're just operating without being called by this committee? What we always say is that we deal with the government budget. So what we always say, I like, and perhaps we're like the investment subcommittee of the board. So a subcommittee of parliament, which deals with the budget, in particular two bills, the division of revenue bill and the appropriations bill, fiscal framework bill, and the taxes are dealt by the standing committee on finance. And that's the committee again, which generally must report to on an ongoing basis. But once you start getting money from government, you become our client. So now we are getting so much money from us, you can't go through the net. We must definitely interact with your good selves. But we appreciate the presentation, and wish you well as the company. But new CEO, we also wish you a soft landing. It's a bad time to get into an organization. When you're saving so many challenges, but at the same time, when you turn it around, you know that it can end up being a silver lining in a dark cloud. That I came with you guys, you were, for all intents and purposes, you were very insolvent. Your ratios were going the wrong directions. Now they're in the right direction. So again, it's something that you can point at, that I came, if I were to use football as an example, that I think that's what my Mikel Arteta would say, Arsenal, that I came here, you were very far from the Champions League spot. Now we are getting there, and so on. So you can point to something. So look at that as a positive. But thank you very much, and we are definitely wishing you well as you continue your business. So. Yes.
No, that's what I said. Thank you, Chair. And I say you've gone through a lot of suffering with Arsenal like I have done. So, so yeah. But yeah, thank you, Chair.
Great.
Also, thank you, Chair. We hope not to be your clients soon. We'd rather not be your clients here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, ma'am. Okay, all members, that takes care of that agenda item. I think the next agenda item for us is the the minutes, Darren, the minutes of the 3rd of May, am I correct?
No, Chairperson, is the minutes of the 4th.
Oh, the minutes will tell you the, yeah. The minutes.
Sorry, sir, can we be excused now at this point?
Yes, definitely you are. You are. Go and pay out people who are claiming.
All right. Thank you, Chair. Bye.
Perfect. Thank you. Honourable members, the minutes of the 4th of May 2022, they were circulated. Can I have the mover for the adoption of the minutes?
Matafa, I move, Chair.
Matafa moves. Can I have a seconder? Honourable members? Honourable members,
Kaiso seconds.
Honourable Kaiso seconds the adoption of the minutes. The minutes are duly adopted as the true reflection of the meeting that took place on the 4th of May 2022. Thank you, honourable members. We take care of that agenda item. The next agenda item, the announcements coming from Darren. Do you have anything to announce?
Chairperson, yes. I received a late apology on behalf of Mr. Kwankwa for the meeting.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, the next meeting is next week, Tuesday, Department of Public Works and Infrastructure on the 2022 appropriation bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. Honourable members, from my side, happy birthday, Comrade Zembo. May you live to see many, 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 many more. And as a committee, we are quite privileged to share this day with you, and your inputs to this committee are highly appreciated. So happy birthday.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Thank you so much. You are welcome.
Thank you. Honourable members, this brings us to the end of the meeting. So the meeting is adjourned.